We live, we love, we serve.
1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, read as such. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one who I name to you." Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we are here once again, grateful just to be present right now, God. Grateful that each and every day, God, you just continue to show us that you still love us, that you still care for us, God, that even on our worst days, you are still present, God. Even when we think things are bad, God, they could be a whole lot worse if we weren't covered by you, God. So once again, we must say thank you, God, for being God all by yourself. So in this moment, God, we ask that you just be present right now. Let your spirit fall afresh all over this place, God. Touch every person here. Touch every person who is watching online. Let them know that you are present with them. Let them know that you still love them, that you're still there for them, that you will never leave them nor forsake them, God. And we hold that to be true today, God. God, let your words flow out of me on today, God. Somebody here is a need for a word from you, God. So once again, do what you do best and be God all by yourself. Make up the difference with anything I'm lacking in this moment so it's you who gets all the glory, honor, and praise, God. So it's you who stands at the forefront, God. So have your way once again, and we will get out the way and let you go to work. It's in your name we pray, and we say amen, amen, amen. Won't you all be seated? Won't be too long this morning. I simply want to talk about the push that you needed. The push that you needed. Family, I love to swim. That's one of my favorite things to do, whether it be in a pool or an ocean. If you know me, I'm going to get in one of them. I love the water, and I love when the water is deep. I love to dive. I love to snorkel. I love to scuba dive. I love all of that. But it always wasn't like that, if you can believe it or not. There was a time in my life where I didn't know how to swim. And even when I eventually learned how to swim, I didn't dare go into the deep ends of the pool. I knew the mechanics. I knew what to do with my arms. I knew what to do with my legs. I knew how to float. I knew how to stay above water. But there was something about the deep end that just felt a little bit intimidating. Something about the deep end that felt different. Something about it that made it feel unsafe. Something about it made it feel like if I made the wrong move there, I would not recover. So even though I could swim, I would stay on the side of the pool where my feet could always touch the bottom. I stayed where I could always stand up if I needed to. I stayed where I could always feel grounded. I stayed where I felt comfortable, and I stayed where I felt like I was in control. Let me say real quick, I stayed where my feet could always touch the bottom. One summer in Texas, I was in the pool with some cousins, and they all knew I could swim and had watched me swim, but were curious as to why I stayed on the short end of the pool and didn't come play with them. They noticed how, no matter how long we stayed in the pool, I just stayed on one side and just watched them play with a little envy on my face. I never crossed to the other side. And eventually, as some older cousins do, they got a little frustrated with my lack of enthusiasm. They got tired of watching me limit myself. And one day they just decided to push me in the deep end. And all of a sudden, I was there somewhere I was afraid of. In the first few moments, I panicked. My body reacted before my mind did. My heart started racing. My thoughts started spiraling. Fear kicked in immediately, and I didn't feel like I was ready. I didn't feel like I was prepared, and I did not feel safe. But then, after a few moments, something shifted. I gained my composure. I started kicking my feet the way I had been taught. I started moving my hands the way I had practiced. I started doing what I already knew how to do. And slowly I came to the realization that I can swim down here too. I realized I had the same ability in the shallow end, and I still had that same ability in the deep end. The same skills, the same strengths, the same breath, the same muscle memory. The only thing that changed was my location and where I was. And from that moment on, I was not afraid of the deep end anymore. What I'm trying to tell you, family, is that there may be somebody in here today trying to figure out why life feels like it's at a standstill, trying to figure out why things aren't moving the way they thought they would. Somebody out there trying to wonder whether why everybody else around you seems like they're excelling in life, progressing in life, advancing in life, while you're stagnant, stuck, and staying still. And it may just be because you're sitting there at the shallow end of the pool, afraid to go to the other side, afraid to move to where God is calling you, afraid to step where your feet can't immediately touch the bottom, afraid to trust God where God puts you, and afraid to trust that where God puts you right now is too much for you to handle. But family, I want you to know that God wouldn't push you to somewhere if God didn't think you could handle where God was pushing you. I find it interesting is that how sometimes we can be aware when it's time to leave certain situations. There are moments in life where you know you don't need to pray, you need to get up and move. Situations where you know without a doubt that it's time to go. At that family gathering when your uncle gets a little too rowdy, it's time to go. When you see that one ex walking your way, it's time to go. When your social media has run out completely, it's time to go. When you agreed to go somewhere that you didn't want to go to in the first place, and now you're 10 minutes in and you're already looking for an exit, it is time to go. Sometimes we are really good at recognizing when our presence is no longer required. We can deduce it quickly. We can read the room. We can feel it in our spirit. And when we want to leave, we don't hesitate. But as good as we can be at leaving, we can be just as committed to staying. Staying in places that no longer serve us. Staying in situations that no longer benefit us. Staying connected to people who no longer pour in to us. Staying in environments that no longer help us grow. Staying in spaces that no longer bring us joy, peace, or purpose, but yet we stay. We stay in places that don't make us better. We stay in situations that don't stretch us. We stay in spaces that quietly suffocate our growth. And family, there are many reasons we choose not to move. One of the biggest reasons is fear. Fear that if I move forward, I might become someone different. Fear that if I leave, I won't recognize myself anymore. Fear that if I grow, what will I look like and will it change me? As humans, we naturally cling to unhealthy situations simply because we know how to function there. We know the patterns. We know what to expect. We know the rules. We know that leaving requires us to imagine who we could be without those places, spaces, and situations, without those people, without those habits. And that kind of imagination is scary because all you've known sometimes is survival. Don't let fear of who you might become keep you stuck at who you are, especially when you're not even satisfied with who you are right now. Another reason we struggle to move, and this one can kind of hit close, is the fear of losing people. Because when you start thinking about leaving a space, leaving a situation, or leaving a season, you're not just thinking about the geography or location. You're thinking about the relationships. You're thinking about the access. You're thinking about who might not be able to come with me as I go. And that is hard. Many of us find ourselves surrounded by friends, families, and loved ones who are uncomfortable with growth. It is not that just that they are uncomfortable with growth in general. They are uncomfortable with your growth. Because your growth changes the dynamic. Your growth changes the access. Your growth changes what they can expect from you. Some people only know how to relate to you in the version of you that was always available to them. The version that always said yes to them, the version that always made room for them, the version of you that just stayed small enough to be manageable for them. And when you start growing, and I mean really growing, people start acting funny. At the hint that you may be changing, evolving, or becoming more aligned with who God is calling you to be, some people begin to resist it. They don't say it out loud, but you feel it. Their energy shifts. Their tone changes. Their support gets quiet. Some people expect you to stay the same person forever. Accessible in all the ways that work for them. They expect you to remain in the role they assigned you. And when your growth requires them to adjust, they don't always want you. So instead of adjusting, they just try to sabotage you. Sometimes they do it quietly. Sometimes they do it emotionally. Sometimes they do it spiritually. And we don't like to talk about it because sometimes it's necessary to do a friendship purge. Not because people are evil, but because not everyone is meant to walk with you into your next season. If you are surrounded by people who expect you to say the same, who expect you to endure unhealthy relationships and situations, who expect you to remain in places that hinder your growth, then it's time to have some hard conversations. You're not doing yourself any favors by worrying about what people, the people who don't want to see you elevated. Because the truth is, some people are afraid of what your growth may mean for them. If the people who are closest to you aren't celebrating the thought of you becoming better, not bitter, not harder, but better, then you may need a new circle. Another reason that we are hesitant to move, and this is just a common one, is comfort. We grow comfortable in places, spaces, and situations because of how they make us feel. We settle into environments that bring us familiarity. We get used to routines, we get used to patterns, and eventually we start thinking, this must be it. We start thinking, this is where I belong. We start thinking, life can't get any better than this. We start thinking that this is my final destination, so we anchor down. And hear me out, it's not always bad spaces we get comfortable in. Sometimes the space treats you well. Sometimes the situation feels good. Sometimes the people there are kind to you. But just because the space brings comfort doesn't mean it's where you're supposed to stay. Sometimes you're scared to leave because you think it's the best you'll ever get. You're afraid you won't find the same comfort anywhere else. So you cling to temporary comfort instead of trusting God's long-term growth. And all the while, something strange starts to happen when you're comfortable. You begin to outgrow the space. Things that once felt peaceful now feel irritating. Things that once brought joy now feel too heavy to walk into. Things that once energized you now drain you. Things that made you happy now make you sad. And you can't quite explain why. You can't figure out why the place that once gave you so much love, peace, and validation no longer does. But instead of moving forward, you stay put, choosing discomfort because it's at least the discomfort is familiar. It's amazing how long we will endure this comfort, hoping to regain past comforts that no longer exist. We stay in uncomfortable places, hoping things will go back to the way they used to be. We stay holding on to nostalgia. We stay remembering how it was instead of responding to how it is right now. And sometimes God needs to use that discomfort to move us forward, but sometimes it's our stubbornness that keeps us stuck. So once again, what do? We stay put. But in those moments, I'm glad a push from God becomes necessary. In those moments when fear and comfort team up against us, a push from God is needed. Because fear will convince you to stay and comfort will convince you to settle. But together, they will keep you stuck and frozen in the same space that you need to get out of. But it's good to know, family, that fear and comfort do not stop God from pushing you. It's good to know that when you feel stuck, God can give you a push. It's good to know that when you feel scared, God can give you a push. It's good to know that when you don't want to leave places that feel familiar, places that feel safe, places that feel comfortable, God is still able to give you a push to move forward. It's good to know that God is always there to push me even when I don't want to leave. Sometimes God pushes you not because you're doing something wrong, but because you need to move and you outgrown where you currently sit. You have to understand this. God built us to grow. We are always growing, whether we recognize it or not. Just like you grow physically, you are growing spiritually. And if you wouldn't wear the same clothes from 10 years ago that no longer fits your body, why would you keep occupying spaces, places, and situations that no longer fit who you've become or who you're becoming? Don't let your growth scare you. Don't let your fear prevent you from moving forward. Don't let comfort keep you in places that you should have left a long time ago. If God is pushing you, it is because it's time to go. Yes, I know it's scary because we don't always know where God is pushing us to. We like the space we were in because we know it, we understand it, and we've mastered it. But moving into the unknown is when our faith kicks in. You have to trust and believe that if God is pushing you somewhere, it's for your benefit. God has never led you astray before, and God won't start now. And if you just simply lean into where God is pushing you, you'll discover that God isn't pushing you into something worse. God is pushing you to somewhere greater. This brings us to Samuel. Samuel is on the move, but Samuel is mourning. Samuel is moving, but Samuel is still grieving. Samuel is in the middle of his push, but his heart is still focused on where he was pushed from. Samuel has just left Saul. Saul, the king who had been rejected by God because he took matters into his own hand instead of waiting on God. And because Saul ignored God, God rejected Saul. And with that rejection came a push for Samuel. God pushes Samuel and tells him to move on. Then when we find Samuel, he's crying. And isn't it interesting, family, that Samuel is crying over leaving a space where God is no longer present? There's something powerful and also something painful about how hard it can be to leave spaces that God no longer occupies. We hold on because of what those spaces used to do for us. We remember what God did back then. We remember how it felt back then. And instead of looking forward to what God is about to do, we stay stuck mourning what used to be. Fear and comfort are a dangerous combination when it's time to move forward, especially when God is no longer working where you're trying to stay. Even though God tells Samuel to move on, Samuel continues to mourn, and God asks him a question: how long will you mourn over Saul? Notice here that God is not scolding Samuel for mourning, but God is questioning the duration of the mourning period. God understands how hard it is to move on from a place that once brought happiness. God understands how painful it is to leave people that you thought would be around forever. God understands the fear of stepping into the unknown. But God also knows something Samuel can't see yet. God would not be pushing Samuel if what was behind him was better than what was ahead of him. There is time to grieve what you're leaving, but there's also time to trust where God is sending you. God tells Samuel to stop mourning Saul because Saul has been rejected as king. And to really understand why God is so firm with Samuel, we have to go back and remember how Saul became king in the first place. Saul was not God's idea. Saul was the people's request. Israel looked around at the other nations and said, "We want a king like everyone else so we could be like everyone else." They wanted to look strong. They wanted to look impressive. They wanted to feel familiar, and they wanted to be culturally acceptable. And God warned them. God told them what a king like that would do. God told them the cost. God told them the consequences, but the people still insisted. So God gave them Saul. Not because Saul was the best option, but because Saul was the option that they had demanded. In family, that's a dangerous place to be. When God gives you what you want, even though it's not what God intended for you to have, Saul looked the part. Saul was tall. Saul was impressive. Saul fit the image, but Saul struggled with obedience. Over and over again, Saul chose control over trusting God. He chose taking action over waiting on God. He chose his own judgment over God's instruction. When Saul was told to wait for Samuel, Saul didn't wait for Samuel and offered a sacrifice himself. And when Saul was told to fully obey God, he partially obeyed God and tried to spiritualize his disobedience. Saul didn't lose the kingdom because he was weak. He lost it because he didn't listen. And this is important because Saul wasn't rejected because he made a single mistake. Saul was rejected because he developed a pattern of ignoring God when obedience became inconvenient. So when God tells Samuel to stop mourning Saul, it's not because God is cold and God is annoyed. It's because God is being clear. Saul represents what happens when we choose what we want over what God wants. And when we get what we want, it often feels good. In the moment, it feels satisfying. It feels validating, but it doesn't last. Because when we choose what we want for immediate comfort over long-lasting purpose, it's a bad decision. Saul was never going to work, not because Saul wasn't capable, but because Saul was never God's choice. But here's the good news in here for somebody today. God will never allow God's work to die with the failure of a single person. If it's God's work, it's bigger than that one person. If it's God's plan, it's going to be stronger than that person's bad decisions. If it's God's purpose, it's going to survive human error. If it's God's purpose, it's going to be there and stick. Samuel was stuck mourning Saul, but God was already moving ahead. While Samuel was grieving what went wrong, God was preparing for what was next. God was already shaping David in obscurity. God was already working behind the scenes. God was already lining things up. And family, that should encourage you, because even if someone has failed you, even if you failed yourself, even if things didn't turn out the way you hoped, God is still moving, God is still working, and God is preparing you for what comes next. God is still moving. God is still shaking. Even if we can't see it, we have to trust and know that if we follow God as God leads, God will bring us somewhere that is better than where we've left. It's good to know that even when you are the reason that a space becomes uncomfortable, even when your own decisions create tensions, God doesn't stop being God in your life. Just because you messed up doesn't mean God gave up. Just because you failed doesn't mean God has walked away from you. God can take your mistakes and turn them into lessons that teach you how to trust God even more as you move forward. Teach you how to have faith in God as you move forward. That's why when God pushes me, I can follow. When God pushes me, I can go without fear. When God pushes me, I know everything is going to be all right. When God pushes me, I can trust and have faith that God is taking me somewhere that I didn't even know existed, somewhere that's going to be better for me, somewhere that's going to do me right, somewhere where I won't be used, somewhere where I'll be appreciated, somewhere where you're going to feel that you need to be, even when you didn't realize you needed to be there. When God pushes you, everything is going to be all right. God says to Samuel, I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, and among his sons I have found my king. What we must realize is that when God pushes us, provisions are already prepared. We don't have to fear the future when we trust the one who provides the future. God prepares us for what we need, before what is needed before we arrive. And God will keep it there until the right moment, and God will decide to reveal it when we are ready to use it. And that's why faith and trust matter so much, because most of the time when God pushes, we can't see where we're being led, but we have to trust that God is leading us to somewhere good. It's scary, I promise, but I beg you to remember something simple today. This is not the first time God has pushed you, and this will not be the last. Every time God pushed you before, it led you to somewhere better. When you lost that job, God pushed you to a better one. When that relationship failed, God pushed you into something healthier. When you couldn't get out of bed, God pushed you to keep going. When your plans were ignored, God pushed you to somewhere they were appreciated. When you didn't think things were going well, God pushed you to a place where all your thoughts made you feel like everything was going right. So be thankful today for God's push, because without it, you would have never discovered what you were capable of. And this is why I love watching nature documentaries, especially the ones on birds. When baby birds hatch in the nest, their parents are incredibly attentive. They make the nest comfortable. They bring the baby's food. They protect the chicks. They keep danger away. And this creates the safest environment possible for the chicks to grow up in. But eventually, the chicks do grow up. And when they grow up, the nest is no longer enough for them. But the chicks don't realize that. Some parents make the nest uncomfortable. Some stop bringing food because eventually the chick has to leave. And when nothing else works, the parents will actually push the chicks out of the nest. And as the chicks fall, something incredible happens. The chick realizes that it has wings. The chicks realize that they can fly, and it realized they were prepared for the whole situation the whole time. But if the chick had never been pushed, it would have never discovered its potential, and it would have been stuck in the nest, never growing, never progressing, never knowing all its possibilities. It would have been stuck. Family, God is not pushing you because you're unprepared. God is pushing you because you are ready. Let God push you past your fear. Let God push you past your anxiety. Let God push you out of spaces that no longer serve you. Let God push you out of relationships that drain you. Let God push you out of environments that are destroying your mind. Let God push you out of those places that destroy you. Let God push you out of those places that no longer bring you happiness and joy. Let God push you. Trust God's push. Have faith in God's push, and believe in God's push. Because if Samuel would have never met David if he kept mourning Saul and if he stayed right by Saul. So let God push you and watch amazing things happen. Let God push you and watch the world change for yourself. Let God push you and watch things immediately start to get better. But for that push to be successful, you have to have faith and trust that where God is pushing you is going to be better than when you're leaving, where you're leaving. Amen.
Amen.